So Lord, as we celebrate the Ascension, we give you thanks and praise for fulfilling your promise and not leaving us orphaned, but that you're present to us through the work and activity of the Holy Spirit. And so as we prepare this 9-day novena before Pentecost, we ask you to give us an expectant faith that you will lavish this gift upon us to help us meet the challenges and needs that we face today as a church and as members of your body. And we pray in a very special way that the Holy Spirit would just remove any fear inside of us and help us to walk in confidence. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So I don't want to go on too long because I know Juan gave his witness talk, so I wanted to trim my homily a little, but I want to get you ready for Pentecost. And I've been sharing as the daily thought on my website the Burning Bush Novena. And the first day, Friday, was for the people of Israel, which really resounded with me given the conflict there right now and the war and the bloodshed and everything, to pray for them, for peace for Jerusalem. Today was for the Church of Jesus Christ, our church, that we open our hearts to the grace of the Holy Spirit. I haven't looked ahead to tomorrow, but it's probably good. So we look forward to Pentecost, and this is something of great importance to us. You know, even when Mary Magdalene tried to grab Jesus when she saw him after the resurrection, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my heavenly Father." And he was telling her there that you're not going to be able to relate to me in the same way that you did. You're going to relate to me in the Holy Spirit. So you need to prepare yourselves and your brothers too for this grace of Pentecost, because 1 Corinthians 12:2, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So it's through the Holy Spirit that we feel our dignity as children of God, that we walk away from a spirit of fear, and we walk in our spirit of adoption as adopted sons and daughters of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So this grace of Pentecost, or what I call baptism in the Holy Spirit, is extremely important. And you know, I realize as a parish, as we have lots of activities and things going on, you're invited to participate in a lot of stuff here. But for me, if I had a priority, it would be the Life in the Spirit Seminar. And I was really trying to push that a couple years ago when we had it. In 2019, before the COVID thing, we had it in January. Because I want that grace for everyone. I think God is generous, and it's a normative grace for a Christian to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. And so before I leave, and I don't know when I'm going to leave, this is my fourth year. You know, on this fishing trip, I said this last week in Spanish, but I didn't say it in English because my dad was attending the Mass and I didn't want to give him any credit. But we were on our way down to the boat launch, which was a mile away now because the lake is so low. They have had a drought and they drained the lake for irrigation and things for farming, and it's really, really low. So we were on our way down. There were two gentlemen sitting behind me in the van. One was a retired dentist from Jacksonville, Texas. And they had an accent, you know, and they're very jovial. And the other guy was the mayor of the city there, 1,400 people. So he said, "Father, how often does your diocese move you from parish to parish?" So before I could open my mouth and give a reply, my dad turned around from the front seat and said, "Well, usually they wait until his congregation dwindles to about 50%, and then they move him somewhere else." So the guy started laughing, and then I laughed. Then I gave him the correct response with this prayer and discernment and on anyways. But so we had a lot of fun. Thank you for praying for me. I did catch the biggest fish, although it probably wasn't fair because he was out 2 days with a pinched nerve in his shoulder. So it was just me and the guy out on the boat. But I want this grace for everybody, and I think a lot of people have yet to experience it. So I don't know when I'm going to get moved. You know, that's in God's hands. But before I leave, I want to do another Life in the Spirit seminar, and you're going to hear a lot about it because I want everybody to experience that grace. It was so life-changing for me. And so the Friday before I left, which would have been the last day in April, I guess it was the 30th or the 30 days in April, I went up to St. Brendan's to help with the men's conference. Father Robert Spitzer was there, brilliant man. He can speak up here, he can speak down here. Just a great guy, and I have his new book now on the spiritual warfare. And so I went there to help with confessions for the men's conference. And a lot of people came to confessions. I was actually one of the last people to leave. And before I was going to leave, you know, a gentleman came in, and it wasn't confession. He said, "I'm not here for confession. I already went to someone else." I said, "Okay. But do you remember me?" And I said, "Oh, absolutely. I remember you very well. You went on the men's retreat with me in 2017. And you were one of about 15 men who took me up on the invitation that evening after the last presentation to go into the waterfront room and to pray for baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then you wrote me a most beautiful email about your experience. And unfortunately, when I left St. Brendan's, they deleted my email account and I lost it. But it was a beautiful testimony. What happened to him, and this hits us in different ways, one gentleman I prayed with in Kirkland, he said, you know, he got me the next morning and said, "Hey, I have to ask you something. I know this is a silent retreat." I said, "Oh, I'm not rabid about that." He said, "When you prayed over me last night, I just felt this power come over me, but I had a really hard time getting back to my room. I felt like I was drunk." I said, well, you were drunk on the Holy Spirit. And on Pentecost Day, remember? Oh, they've been drinking. It's like, no, it's only 9 in the morning. We haven't started yet. But the Holy Spirit came upon them, and the response of the people was, well, they must be drunk. Look at how they're acting. They're so happy and jovial. It's like, no, this is Holy Spirit power. For him, something very different happened. He went back to his room, and he knelt down before the crucifix out of a sense of gratitude, and the Lord just showed him all of his sins. And to show them the magnitude of his mercy. And then he got a second chance to start over again. And he actually vomited. He actually threw up as the Lord reviewed his life with him. But then the beauty came in that that's your past. Now we're moving into something very new. So he said to me that Friday at 10:20 in the evening, because that's when I got out of there, he said, that was the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced. And my life changed forever on that night. Thank you for praying with me. I said, it was a privilege. I love to pray with people. But it's just interesting how the Holy Spirit works with us differently. That didn't happen to the other guy. He got like the drunk thing. For me, I just sat there with a spirit of peace. And then the next few weeks, a lot of things started changing in my life. But God knows exactly what we need. Isn't he amazing? So it's not like this cookie cutter. Well, here you go, next. It's however he works with you, how you're wired. If you're an introvert, an extrovert, he respects all of that because we're fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. Amen. So I want that grace for everybody. So I share that story with you. I won't tell you his name, but I remembered his name. And that impressed him because I don't hardly ever remember people's names. My Rolodex is often broken. But I remember him because that was such a powerful thing when he sent me the email. And we want to experience this grace so we can have confidence. And so many people are bullied and intimidated by the devil right now. I told you I heard confessions at Kennedy. And, you know, people who are seniors should be looking forward to a future filled with hope. I've ruined my life. I haven't lived my life deliberately over the last 4 years. I said, are you kidding? You have a whole life to look forward to. And with Jesus, all things are new. You can do all things through him who strengthens you. Don't you believe that? You know? And so the enemy is lying to our young people. I heard today from a friend, one of her relatives who's a teacher, one of her students took their life. And what they're doing now in California is they run in front of the train, the Caltrans. And so they actually have guards now in front of the train stations to prevent people from doing that. But the despair, the lies and the deception that the enemy is pulling over our young people, unbelievable. It's time to take authority over that. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of those funerals and tired of the depression and the brokenness in our families. The Lord wants to empower his children with this gift of the Holy Spirit. So we get that confidence, but we also get healing for the trauma we experience in life. You know, growing up, bad things happen to a lot of people, and the Lord doesn't want us living out of our past in a spirit of trauma. He wants to heal us. The Holy Spirit is our healer, the consoler, who brings us into newness of life in Christ. And the most important thing I'll say for last is reconciliation. He teaches you how to forgive people. And it's a process. It's a process. And sometimes you think you're all done and someone walks in the room and you're like, oh, I remember them. I remember exactly what they did to me, when they did it to me, how many times they did it to me, right? Unfortunately, I have a good memory so far, at least with that kind of stuff. Other things, not so good. But the Holy Spirit says, hey, we need to deal with this. It's time for some more healing in your life over this wound or whatever trauma you've had. But we see that that's not happening in our families. People just break up and they don't talk to each other. That's not part of God's plan, is it? Not at all. So we need to invite the Holy Spirit to help us. So let's just say a prayer to prepare ourselves for Pentecost. Heavenly Father, as we edge towards our wonderful celebration of Pentecost, we ask you to open our hearts to believe, to receive a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We have many challenges ahead of us as a culture, as a world. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us be bold and not to succumb to a spirit of fear. So as we prepare this week, open our hearts to believe in your goodness, your generosity, that you don't drip this gift, but you lavish it like a tidal wave upon your children. So open our hearts to that grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.